Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're returning to the Eternals feedback. Reading more of your feedback, discussing what you guys have to say. All that right off the bat, we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
And once again, Jeff is not with us today. He is finishing up his capstone project for his big degree that he's getting. So we are going to be doing some Eternals feedback. And we are just jumping right in because we want to get to as many feedbacks as possible. So I'll grab this first one. We got Tim Brown, a patron, says, my idea about Thena is it wasn't just PTSD, in my opinion. It was also almost like a dementia / Alzheimer's as well. I worked in a hospital lab for over 25 years, and at one point, I also dealt with a lot of locked mental health units at the medical center I was at. And some of what she was going through reminded me in a lot of ways of some old vets who also have dementia.
I thought they kind of said that that's what she had. What did they call it?
Mad weary.
Mad weary. Okay.
I was waiting on you to be like, I'm mad weary,
mad
bro.
Weary. I can't. I'll never remember it, and I'll never not make that joke.
I said it and just waited.
I was like, I want to say it.
No, the yeah, so in the thing they talk about, it's because something about her last reset didn't go properly. And Jeff told us last week that Angelina Jolie described it as PTSD.
Okay.
But I took it as more of
the writer.
Yeah, she's not the writer. I mean, hopefully she has a good grasp of what's going on. But, like, I took it as her old memories are just overriding what's going on in the moment. Or something like that, you know, because she keeps talking about Centauri 5 and keeps like, which I understand is kind of, is sort of like what PTSD does, where it like puts you back in that moment. But also,
and Alzheimer's for sure.
Yeah. But also, she's like a robot, so it also just make me, her hard drive is full. You know what I mean? Like she's having like some some breakdowns because her hard drive is full.
Yeah, can't compute. I'm mad weary.
I'm mad weary. Starts making fax noises. but yeah, so I think it's a totally good point though. Could be more like dementia.
I agree. Okay, we got Winston Gordon, a Patreon, says, hello, Ashley, Matt, and Jeff. Tip of the hat to you guys and all your good work. Couple of thoughts. I absolutely think that at least 75% of the problem with this movie would be fixed by making it a Disney Plus series or making a Black Knight horror movie first and then end the first act with the reveal that Dane's girlfriend is an Eternal and her getting some of her old friends together because the monsters Dane is fighting is a deviant. But never give them a personality. Just treat them like Jurassic Park treats the dinosaurs. Also, is it just me or is Sprite supposed to be an analogy for the LGBTQIA community? Born in a body that she doesn't feel represented her or allow her to love the person she wants. That might just be me. And Kinga staying on the sideline bit is an interesting topic for the other more ethical Matt to talk about on his podcast. If Kingo truly believes that killing the Celestials is risking billions of lives, staying on the sideline makes him an active bystander to a horrific event. No. Keep this Marvel train going. Love you guys 3000. P.S. Sorry for the long message.
The more ethical, Matt. I get being like, you know, the ethical panda, all that good stuff. I know what you mean, but like, I don't want to be known as the less ethical Matt. That's not great. That's not great. That's not great PR for me. Yeah. I love it. I actually love it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It's really funny. But no, I think I love the question of Kingo leaving. That's why I liked it so much, is because it is complex. It's like there's believing something and there's believing something enough to murder for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like, those are two different levels of fight you're willing to do. And you could say, oh, you just don't believe. You don't believe really that it's the wrong thing to do to kill the Celestial if you're not willing to fight for it. But like, Yeah, that's not necessarily true. It's like that's it may just be he has some doubts and it's not worth killing his friends over, you know?
Yeah. I feel like that's how he was like, I think this is wrong, but I can't fight you guys, so I'm just going to walk away. Which isn't a good excuse there, Kingo, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. It's a tough moment in the movie, and like it is challenging, and like I find it super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it.
Yeah.
Okay, the other things, LGBTQIA community and Sprite. I see what you're saying. Like, there's definitely can be those comparisons, but I think they make it broad enough that Sprite can work for anyone who's experienced sort of like unrequited love, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, that works. If that's how you feel it, if that's how you interpret it, especially like if you're a person of that community and you see that connection, like I totally see making that work for how a way to experience the movie. But it's also, I could just see someone who like, you know, doesn't have the body type where she feels like she can get the man she wants, you know, and like, or whatever. Like, I know lots of girls who like sit on the sidelines where their friend gets the guy they wish they were with, you know, and that there's nothing. I think it's anyone who has that sort of unrequited love situation could be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
As for your idea of, we talked a lot about the series idea, but I love this idea of them doing a Black Knight horror movie that leads into, please. Like, how cool would it be if Cersei was like the background character of a horror movie that was like, sort of like a girlfriend that's clearly hiding something. And like, maybe you think she's like cheating or something, like, cause she's like not answering things directly or she's avoiding questions, whatever. And then it turns out she's an Eternal.
Yeah. How do you explain it?
Yeah. Like the Black Knight or like Dane is like trying to convince her to move in and she's always evasive and not really giving him good reasons. And like, it's like heartbreaking to your main character. And so you're like, you're like on his side and you're kind of like, man, why is this Cersei girl so mean? And then it turns out she's an Eternal. Like,
yeah,
that'd be super fun.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not a first date, you know, conversation, but it's definitely a third date conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are we going?
are we Eternal together? Is this love? Is this love Eternal? Okay. Michael Zeich on one of our patrons says, there's a lot to unpack with the Eternals, but I'll try to keep it short. I felt the scores weren't fair. Talking about Rotten Tomatoes scores. Okay. However, here's a few questionable plot choices. I feel they did a decent job with the characters and making a drama with 10 characters. Now for the specifics. Why would Icarus mention being in the Avengers if he obviously doesn't care about the Earth's well-being? Why did his eyes flicker? Okay, let's take these one at a time because I feel like he asked a lot of questions here. Why does he mention being in the Avengers if he doesn't care about the Earth's well-being?
Did we know at that point that Celestial was coming through?
No, we didn't. So I think the answer to that is like, he's been there 7,000 years and all of the Eternals seem to have a little bit of like, especially Kingo, but all of them have a little bit of like, we've been just sitting around for 7,000 years. Let's do something. And maybe he would rather be doing something on the Avengers, even if it means eventually the destruction of the Earth. Like, being an Avenger has status. It has, so the same reason Kingo wants to be a superstar. Like, maybe he wants to go be an Avenger. It's sort of a thin reason there, but like, also maybe he thinks it's just a way he can have a bigger impact on protecting humanity.
Well, he said he wanted to lead them because he's like, right. Oh, I could lead them.
Yeah. Which in the trailer, they all laugh. In the movie, they don't laugh. They all kind of like treat it like it could be a thing. Like he could do that. And we know from more of the last half of the movie that he is sort of like their field leader or whatever.
Right. Hmm. He's their Cyclops.
Why did his eyes flicker before deciding to help Cersei? I don't remember this. Do you know what he saw? I don't know. I don't remember this.
No.
Okay. Sorry.
When did he decide to help Cersei? Like, I thought he turns against her. Did they see each other again at that end battle? It saw it once. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I've watched it once
at night.
I don't remember when his eyes flickered, so I'm going to have to defer to you on that.
I mean,
one,
he, I'm not knowing really, but he was in love with her. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. He says, was he suffering of mad weary too? I guess he flickered similar to the way that, Athena flickers.
Hmm.
She, her eyes go white though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't catch the flickering, so I apologize, but I don't know which scene you're talking about. Like when he decided to help her, like, I don't know if it was like when he decided to help her fight that deviant at the beginning of the movie, or if, there's a scene, where like she tells him, or they decide to be in love together. Is that what he means?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure which scene Michael's talking about. Why did Sprite suddenly join in the Unimind? Did she see him change his mind? Did she see him change his mind?
I think she's talking about maybe Icarus.
Did Sprite see Icarus change his mind?
Yeah, because she joined the Unimind to go against the Celestial.
Yeah, I don't think she had control, was the way I took that. Like, it appeared, right. Which is what they said, actually, at the end of the movie, was that, like, they actually formed a Unimind with the Celestial, and they talked about connecting themselves so they all have the power. They mm-hmm. share each other's power, similar to the Guardians when they all hold the hands to do this, you hold the stone. Like, it's a similar concept. So that is supposedly to protect them, or like to use for all of them to kind of siphon their power into one of them so they can enhance the powers of the other, the power of one of them was the idea. Mm-hmm. And it seems that when the Celestial emerges from a planet, it creates a Unimind with the Eternals to protect them from the destruction of the Earth. They say that at the end of the movie. They say that's how we were going to survive the Earth's destruction, was we were going to be in the middle of a Unimind with the Celestial. But because Cersei used all of that power, because Faustus, so many names. Faustus had told her how she could, once she's in a Unimind, siphon the power off of everyone to enhance her powers. So she's actually using the powers of the Celestial to do what she does to the Celestial. Like, she would not have probably been able to do that if she wasn't connected to the Celestial.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. They breeze by it in the last, like one of the last scenes, they have a quick like nod to that. So I don't think that Sprite changed her mind or saw him change his mind. I think she just like gets, they all get caught up in the Unimind without a choice. All right.
Yeah.
Also, didn't they mention that Cersei connected with Tiamat and lended her power, basically helping her kill itself? Yes, that is what happened, but it wasn't a choice on Tiamat's part. It was the fact that, like, that's just how the Unimind works, that when you're mm-hmm. all connected, it enhances everyone's powers. And since she just took advantage of that moment, it was like a moment of weakness that Tiamat had, that they just, normally Eternals don't decide to kill their Celestial, you know? It sounds like most of the time they don't even know that the Celestial's coming, except for the leader.
Right.
And
right.
then they also normally don't turn on the Celestial to destroy it. But in this particular circumstance, they had done that. And now, like, she gets caught up, uses all of the power of the Eternals and the Celestial to destroy the Celestial. Okay.
Cool.
Continuing with Michael's feedback. I thought Icarus killing himself was dumb. But he was the overzealous type. I thought he was just going to fly away as a self-imposed exile. Also, did anyone else notice the Batman and Superman references? I guess DC Comics exists in the MCU now. The ending felt like five end credit scenes put back to back. Thanos is an Eternal with a brother and a father in the MCU, and I'm done. Sorry, I was trying to keep it short, but I think that was the short list. Can't wait for the Kingo cut of the movie and the connected documentary. Keep up the good work. Also, who won the Eternal Death Count bet? That's a good question.
Did we do that?
We already? Did not do that. There's not official winner. It's between me and you. I said one, you said five were the Eternals that would die. Three mm-hmm. died. So they're like me and you.
Right in the middle.
Is right in the middle of our answers. So I don't know.
Okay. That's fair.
So we get 250 from Jeff each.
Yeah. Okay. Next is Fearmjolnir. Fearmjolnir.
Fearmjolnir.
Hey Matt, Jeff. Fearmjolnir. Hey Matt, Jeff, and Ashley. I've been listening since about midway through Fatas, and I have loved every episode since the beginning. And I don't have many people to talk about Marvel with. Most people just don't get my love for the MCU. So I found your podcast, and now this gives me something to at least enjoy at work and knowing there are so many other people out there who love the MCU as much as me. So thank you so much for an awesome podcast. Anyway, I have a theory for the Eternals that I need another opinion on. Everyone says, why didn't they help with Thanos, especially after the post-credit scene, spoiler, with Thanos' brother saying he's an Eternal, which means Thanos should be Eternal or a deviant, question mark. But anyway, I don't think that anyone has really thought of the fact, what if they just didn't know or weren't fast enough to even help? Thanos arrives both times on Earth and is there for a very, very short amount of time, it seems. So like Makari and maybe Icarus would have been able to get there to help, but that's if they knew about Thanos. If their mind gets wiped every time and the deviants they fought all look like they did in the movie, then how would they even know Thanos was part deviant? Granted, it would have been badass to see Makari just destroy Thanos because she's absolutely amazing, but I think she would have been the only one who would have been able to help. Honestly, I don't know if that makes sense, but I thought about it the other day and just wanted everybody's input. Thank you guys so much for everything. Love everyone, 3000, Tyler.
Thank you, Tyler. Yeah, totally makes sense. Like, that is definitely a headcanon for why they didn't help. Like, they just weren't around.
Couldn't get there in time, yeah.
Couldn't get there in time, never heard about it. Like, it's really, like, that's one thing that people are always like, yeah, well, why doesn't Iron Man call Captain America when he's in trouble or whatever? But, like, most of the time, if you pay attention to the movie, it all happens so fast. Like, most of the time, it's reactionary. Like, they're protecting the president because he's captured or whatever. And every once in a while, there's, like, a moment where, like, yes, they could have made a phone call. But, like, yeah, you just, like, sometimes it's just... Everybody's dealing with their own stuff, you know?
Yeah. They're off planet right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like at this point in their lives, they thought the deviants were done. They thought all deviants were dead. So they were just chilling for like the last 2000 years. They've just been like chilling and waiting on their mission to be over.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Just, and they look bored. So I don't know.
Yeah.
They should have been paying more attention to the Earth.
Come on, Eternals. Sarah Day McDougall on Facebook says, I heard Brian V. Klein and Haley Hobbs mention this, but not on the main cast, I don't think, Ashley Coffin. The tech that Fastos used slash created seemed very reminiscent of the Ten Rings to me. The CGI was so similar. And the way it moved, I very much think it will be connected, but no idea when or how. I was really expecting one of the end scenes to be teased to them. That's a great point, yeah.
Yeah, what we had said at the end of Shang-Chi is I was shocked that there was no reference to that at all in this movie about the rings, because we were very convinced that those rings were... had something to do with the Eternals, right. Just based off how old they were.
Right.
And they looked like the stuff from the trailers for the Eternal, like not just Faustus's stuff, but it looked like all of the other stuff that we'd seen from their like, tech in the trailers. If he ends up being the forger of those rings, I would not be surprised.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either at all. If where we're going with Marvel movies next 2 years is like into sort of the celestial territory, it could be that these were created by a character like Fastos, could have been an Eternal from another planet that had a similar power, like their tech wizard on another planet or whatever, or another dimension or whatever, like some sort of connection. I still think the connection is there. I don't know if it's going to be Fastos or it's going to be another character similar. But I think
that's what I had said back to her. I was like, now I'm not sure if it's going to be with the, you know, from the Eternals, especially it has that beacon going off inside of it. And if it wasn't to alert the Eternals that something, you know, something was going on. But then that's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, exactly. If that wasn't like connected to the Emergence, what was that connected to? And I'm guessing maybe something to do with Eros, like whatever Eros is doing, like coming to see them, something's going on with the Celestials out in space. Like not, cause clearly with Eros coming to see them and also with Thanos and all the plans that have gone on in the last few years, Thanos being connected to the Eternals makes less sense. And it's like, something's going down in the cosmos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I think
a shift of power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause even Captain Marvel didn't know what the rings were.
Yeah.
Like she was like, nobody knows. We're not sure. I'll call you back.
I need to rewatch Shang-Chi this week now that it's out. Maybe I can get my niece to watch it with me. I'm going back to take care of my mom and niece this weekend or the rest of the week. Today was my 5 podcast day and then I'm spending the rest of the week with her.
Yeah. Are you driving back tomorrow?
Tonight, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
I've got this podcast and one more tonight, and then I'm going home. And then I'll have the next couple of days to edit these podcasts while I take care of my mom. I got to be there in the morning to get my niece on the bus.
Yeah.
Right?
And how long of a drive is that?
Oh, it's only an hour and a half. It's not bad.
Okay. It's still an hour and a half.
Yeah, but I'm so used to it. Like, this year between 10 hours to Dallas to see Alyssa, constantly like I just need to drive an hour and a half or 2 hours to Montgomery to pick up my mom and take her to her doctor's appointments and then to bring her back home and then just ping pong around the state. Then I also play in Atlanta about 2 or 3 times a month. And those are normally like drive over, play a show, drive back nights.
And how long is that? Like 5 hours?
3 hours. So it's 6 hours total round trip.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm just so used to it now.
Yeah.
And I'd really try to get some work done. The thing that I've, like, wish was possible, and I don't know if it is, I want to like, I know there are these algorithms, but I haven't been able to find a good version of them online. There's got to be this. Somebody out there probably knows. So if you know, let me know. Somebody that's a good audio engineer. I'm a medium audio engineer. But there are apparently softwares that will analyze the noise in the background and just take it out.
What? I need that.
Like if you've got a noise in the background that's fairly consistent, like a white noise, for instance, it will analyze the audio and actually like do like whatever spectral analysis and like tell exactly what that noise sounds like, that white noise, and it will just remove that. Like just remove a certain noise. So you could
like record while driving in the car.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like how cool would it be if I could like while driving have the conversations that I always have and like get two podcasts done on the way to Atlanta, you know?
That'd be a good idea. Actually, that's a great idea.
I think it's not bad. It's not. And honestly, I could focus more on the road because it's so like mind numbing just driving straight. Like I could easily focus on conversations and have, I think, good conversations.
It's definitely worth a try.
That's exactly how I feel. It's worth a try. It's just doubling up at different activities. That's like what I have to do in life these days. Okay. Well, up next, we got Ricardo Jimenez says, "Hey, buds, I had a lot of the same initial thoughts as the three of you guys after the Thursday's viewing. Very much felt like Jeff with the whole kind of a downer of experience, but also think, or at least hope, a second, third, fourth, etc. viewing will make the good stand out more, the mediocre dissipate, and everything will come together a bit more cohesively with the knowledge of the entire story. My initial summation of the movie was Marvel made a DC movie for some reason." That's funny. Which made me mad at myself for thinking such dumbass blasphemy.
I'm pretty sure I said that in the last episode.
Yeah, that's super funny. I would watch an entire series of Kingo's Valet for a few seasons, though. I was planning on bringing an ultra gold Monster Energy to the theater because it fit the vibe. And because the gold, I guess. I like it. Mm-hmm. And I fear falling asleep, but I couldn't find one in time, and I blame that halfway for my bummerness on the movie. Aw. Okay, Rick. P.S. I know you guys are always busy, but my band's touring November through December, and again, January through February, and hitting Philly and Texas on either one or both. So if anyone wants a night out and to chat some geeky stuff, let me know and I'll hook up guest list spots. No Alabama stops, unfortunately. Sorry, aww. Jeff.
Well, you can see him in. Yeah, sorry, Jeff. That sounds cool.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Please
email us.
Write in, Ricardo, and tell us about where you're playing, because I love live music. And I'd happily come check it out. And I even will, I drive around a lot, so I don't know if you're coming anywhere close to this part of the country, but I'm in Texas sometimes, and other times I'm just wherever the world finds me. So yeah, hit us up.
You're a rambling man.
I'm a rambling man. I think all those points are valid. I think like Eternals may get better on subsequent viewings. I keep meaning to go rewatch it because I feel the same way. I feel like it's going to be better the next time I watch it. I do feel that way.
I agree. And it's like, I can't wait to like sit and watch it at home. Yeah. I have a feeling with how quick Shang-Chi came out that Eternals will be on Disney Plus, I would think, by Christmas, don't you?
Maybe.
It would be really, they would get a lot of views on it if they release it, like, right after Hawkeye or something on there.
Yeah.
When everybody's home for the holidays.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, but they probably don't want to compete with No Way Home. They probably want No Way Home to be in the theater for a few weeks.
Is that pre-Christmas or post-Christmas?
I think it's the 17th, maybe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right at Christmas. So they probably want to wait till after Christmas to do Eternals. Okay. Maybe a few weeks because they don't want you to like be deciding, do I stay home tonight and watch Eternals or do I go out and spend money on,
the
Spidey Man. I don't know. Spider-Man's just such a huge event. I feel like not that many people, I mean, there are people who will have to make that decision, but like, I feel like people are going to, there's a lot of people who will be seeing Spider-Man.
I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, when you guys find out when those tickets go on sale, we need to set timers because it is going to be, I feel like this will be the first time it'll be like back in the day trying to get tickets for a movie.
Agreed.
Jameson Holbrook on Gmail says, what's going on all? My name is Jameson and I'm writing in from southeastern Wisconsin. I started listening to y'all a few weeks before Loki and geez, was Eternal something. Great concept, but very hard to keep up with, no? I mean, the seven different timelines were confusing, and like you said last time, Ashley, specific characters would just disappear for like 20 to 30 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
Ooh, I get a quote. Spoilers ahead. Icarus turning was disappointing, but not as much as Salma Hayek's character. Seriously, how can you call yourself the Prime Eternal if you die so easily like that? I really don't get it. And Sprite did not turn on the rest of the Eternals for Icarus? I mean, come on. The mid-credit scene made me want to throw something at the theater screen. Ooh. I think Marvel may have missed on a perfect Adam Warlock / Will Poulter setup, but I guess we'll have to see which direction Harry takes the Star Fox. Black Knight also got the short end of the stick in this movie, but Blade's voice was weird and unexpected. After this movie, I have no idea what's next for us cosmically, but all I know is that I'm ready for some Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. Marvel continues to never let me down, but instead throw curveballs. And I'm going to keep swinging for the fences. Love y'all and the beautiful Ashley. Aw. P.S. Makari was definitely my favorite, and if Marvel ever had to do a Flash movie, LOL, they would kill it. Her effects were top tier. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I loved her effects.
Yeah, she looked great.
Super cool. And as we said on the, I think our main cast was just like, I've seen speedster things many, many times. And that was just a really well done and interesting, different one and different take. And I dug it a lot. And yeah, I think Jameson feels a little harsher than even I do. I don't know. I'm not that harsh on this movie, but like,
yeah,
he feels harsher than I do. But I get all these complaints. The seven different timelines were confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you go far enough back in the past too, kind of jumping through history, and I know they gave time markers, but sometimes it just kind of gets sort of lost in like how many thousands of years back are we? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm bad
at BC 80 are we?
I'm bad at history. I don't know when this Aztec stuff happened or like
Babylon.
I don't know when Babylon was and like what I'm happens. Like,
that's pre-Jesus, post-Jesus. I don't know. That's the desert.
I really like, is that pre-Jesus, is that post-Jesus? Cause like, it sounds ridiculous, but it's also like literally how our calendar is organized. Yeah. So it's like, oh yeah. Is it, you're right. Is that pre-Jesus or post-Jesus? Which 2000 is that? super funny. Oh man. Yeah. And, I kind of like that they let Sprite stay in the club even after he turned on them. Cause like, I mean, Kingo kind of turned on them too. Like, in a way, they turned on their, they all turned on their religion, basically.
Yeah.
Like, they turned on Aramith. And like, they can't really blame them for like, sticking with Aramith for like one extra day. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's like, it's sometimes it's hard to get.
And you know, he was in love, you know, in love with.
Yeah. Icarus.
You do, crazy things.
Crazy things for love. Crazy little thing, baby.
Called love.
Yeah. Crazy. All right. Jeffrey Berger on Gmail says, hi, Queen Ashley, Jeff, and Matt.
Feel very regal.
Yeah, you should. It's my first time writing in, but I picked you guys up after WandaVision dropped, and I desperately needed to hear other Marvel fans that were theorizing. Personally, as a fan of slower movies like American Beauty, Lost in Translation, and even Chloe's last movie, Nomadland, I really appreciated a Marvel movie that didn't feel the need to move at the breakneck speed. Do I want to see and learn more about these characters? Of course I do. But I also like that Marvel isn't trying to become stale by giving us the same origin movie over and over again. Okay, theory time. I thought the voice in the second post-credits sequence sounded like Jeffrey Wright's Watcher. Ooh, interesting. Am I the only one that immediately thought of What If?
I think everybody was very confused by that voice. They had to tell us the next day.
Yep, they did. Also, I do think Icarus is gone, and with Sprite now human, that leaves us with six Eternals left. Harry Styles, and however many more might be out there. Could they all eventually try and take down the Celestials? And what would that mean for the future of the universe? Keep up the great work, team. Best, Jay Berger. Yeah, I think we're setting up something with the Eternals.
Well, and the Celestials. If now that the planet doesn't have a baby Celestial in it, if it's prime for Galactus eating.
Yeah, that's possible. I do think it's possible that like two things. We talked about the possibility of them, of maybe Galactus is a punishment sent by the Celestials if they decide that like humanity isn't worthy. But it's also possible that like they've been protecting the Earth from something like Galactus all this time. Mm-hmm. And now that there's no need for Earth to mature to grow a Celestial. So is the idea that like, there's not a Celestial in every inhabited world, right?
I don't think so. I don't know that much about them.
I'm just trying to remember the thing. Like, cause they say that like the Celestials then go out and use that power they've gained to like create new solar systems worlds. Or whatever. New worlds. Yeah.
Starts to get too big.
Starts to get a little too big to like care, like understand. Like it's hard to care about that when you're faced with the world's destruction. And that's what happens to the Eternals. Their empathy gets the better of them, you know?
Yeah.
I like the Jay Berger liked the slower pace. I don't think there's anything wrong with Marvel doing a slower pace movie. And I like that they're trying different styles of movie. I really do. I'm complete agreement that I don't want them to get stale.
Yeah.
But my problems were not that it was slower. And I feel like that's the thing someone else said earlier, that they made a DC movie. And it's like, the guys who love DC, like, and I know a few of them, the guys who love the DC movies, it's like, a lot of times they look at Marvel fans and go like, oh, you just want a fast-paced action punch them up and I like my slow contemplative movies. And it's like, no, like that's not it. I just don't. The DC movies thus far of the DCEU, with the exception of a few, haven't made me care about the characters in the same way.
Right.
And that's it. You know, that's really it. Yeah. And this movie had that same flaw, which, like, I didn't care about the characters enough by the end.
And there was a lot of slow motion.
And there was a lot of
slow motion. Very Zack Snyder-y.
Zack Snyder is Chloe Zhao.
That's okay. I like slow motion. It's fine. I like Zack Snyder. It's fine. It's all good.
Yeah.
But, you know, could be better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not gonna do it.
There are things that could, we won't relitigate the DC versus Marvel discussion too much. But, you know, generally, we like the Marvel movies. Yeah. But it doesn't, my point is they don't have to all be the same. They don't have to be the same origin story. They don't have to be fast paced. They don't have to be quippy. They just like need to make me care about the character. And some of those things that like the fast paced nature, the quippiness can sometimes assist in that because, oh, this is a fun character to be around. A fun movie is often, it's something Joss Whedon taught me watching Joss Whedon stuff. And like he set the tone for how some of this works. He's the one who figured out how to put the different worlds together into an Avengers movie. Mm-hmm. Joss Whedon, watching his shows over the years, I learned that like if you show me characters having fun, like having really genuine fun, and I like watching them, like I'm having a great time watching them, then you put those characters in peril.
Mm-hmm.
There's this emotional reaction where I'm like, I want to get back to the fun with my characters that I love. And if you kill one of them, it hurts me.
Ugh, Serenity. Ugh, cough, cough.
Yes. Yeah.
Rip my heart out.
Absolutely. And even all of his oeuvre, like the entirety of his, discography, that's not the word, filmography.
Filmography.
Is, completely like, He introduces these fun characters that are funny and quippy and lovable, and then you love them. And so when they're in peril or they die, it's really painful. And that's just a beautiful way of making a movie. There's other ways to make you care about characters. I don't think of Daredevil as a particularly funny or fun character.
Right.
But I like love Matt Murdock, you know? Like you can have darker, more contemplative stuff. I don't know.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Just make me care.
Like what you're putting down. Make me care.
All right. Jason McGill on Gmail says, Thanos was right? Question mark. By eliminating half of life in the universe, he saved planets that would have been destroyed by celestial births. If he just doubles the resources, it would have accelerated that progress. Snapping out half of life was the only way. Yeah.
It's true.
Dropping facts. Good point. Dropping facts.
Did Thanos know that, though, is the question.
That is the question. And I think we might find out, which is cool, because we know his brother, Star Fox or whatever, is about to tell us, like, what... I'm really
Dark
curious.
Star Fox.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a Star Fox, all right.
He is. Yeah, he is. Wait, how old is he?
Hey, old enough, you're fine.
Running on that 25 train lately. I'm like Tambourine Saturday, Tom Holland, that guy. I'm like, what? Well, these guys are too young. It's not fun.
Man, you're being a real dude right now. It's like 25-year-olds. The great thing about 25-year-olds, Ashley, you get older, but they stay the same age.
Yeah, man. That Timothy Chalamet, you better watch out when he's 30. I'm coming for you, baby. Just put you in the back burner. Just wait a little while. Wait till you're a little older. 30, I'm going to come swooping and snatch you up. Tambourine Saturday.
So silly. All right, I can take this one. It's a long one we got here. Andrew McLaughlin on Gmail says, Hi, guys. Loved your podcast. Completely agree with everything you said. Sadly, this MCU film was a downer. For me, the biggest issue was that there was too much time skipping, and I believe the film was set out in the wrong order. I completely agree. If it was a TV show, it would have been 100% better, but if you played the movie in chronological order with the only flashback being the death of Ajax, I think the movie might have land better. That's interesting. Actually, that's really interesting thinking about that because this is supposed to be an epic, right? And one of my problems with this movie is I do feel like it's very disjointed. And if you really mm-hmm. saw these characters grow over the course, I'm like, what if you like kind of had got some things that are fun, montages. If you got some montages of Kingo becoming a Bollywood star and then his son also being a, let's meet my son, da da da. And like Kingo's son becoming like, that could have been hilarious stuff to see in real time, you know?
I feel like The Witcher did a really good job with that. Cause I remember watching, it's only about 8 episodes and it's completely chronologically out of order. And they do not tell you that that's what's going on. So until like episode 7, finally, you're like, wait a minute, I see the whole big picture now, which I was not expecting to happen. I was like, what the hell is going on? What is this? But by 7 and 8, you figure out exactly what's going on and you're like, oh, okay, I got you. I feel like it just didn't, but that's also doing it in a show. And I'm not saying that this movie needed to be a show. We just needed a little bit more.
Right.
I always need more.
It is just hard. Like, it's just, there's so many ways to handle this problem. And I won't say they didn't try, because they did try, clearly. But, like, introducing 10 characters in a 2-hour and 30-minute movie and so much world building, and then trying, and it's just hard. It's just a really hard challenge.
Yeah.
And I think, like, if they'd stripped some characters out of the story or like made some of these characters way smaller parts of the story, and like, I'd hate that because I like all of the characters, but if some of these characters were very deliberately put on the back burner so that 2 or 3 or 4 could be the very front and center, I think this movie would be better. Cause I think they tried to do too much, but this is, I do like this idea, and it would make it feel more cohesive. The idea of going, through the entire timeline in order. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I also felt there wasn't a relatable figure that could play the audience's part in the story. Often, they were trying to make us feel something for characters that ultimately were driving the destruction of the Earth, and the deviants never felt like enough of a threat to make you care that they were on Earth too. Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. This guy, Andrew, making good points, making really good points. Because Marvel movies often do this thing where they have a bad guy you're going up against, and then they pivot and make you realize the bad guy is a different bad guy. But to make the movie work, you have to think that both threats were real. I'm thinking of Civil War, for instance, where like, he's going to activate these like, super soldiers, right? Like that's what you think is going to happen the whole movie. And then they get there and it's actually just, you got to fight each other.
Yeah.
Like it's just a video to play. And that's a great twist, but the rest of the movie doesn't work if you don't actually fear the super soldiers a little bit. You kind of have to care about the super soldiers. And this movie, you do not care about the deviants from a threat level perspective.
Mm-mm.
So that's a really good, that's a really good point.
I swear that's why they had to end up having them fight each other.
See, I don't know that that's why they had them fight each other, because you could easily make the deviants a real threat.
The deviant overlord guy who hybrided. Yeah.
Right. Well, it happened really late in the movie too. So like the, mm-hmm. so like the main internal struggle of this movie is boredom. Like it's the 10 of them sitting around and going like, we did our job. We've been here 7,000 years. Now they're arguing about how they should do their job. But like all of them are kind of like, I don't know. Is this a, what is this mission even for? And like, that's not, I don't know. It's a conflict and it's interesting on some levels, but I think there are ways to make the story, to drive the story a little more, directly or whatever. There was also an amazing opportunity for them to turn, Tiamat, into a man-sized celestial, mist. I felt, but perhaps having a celestial remain on Earth, will be pivotal moving forward. I don't blame the actors for their depiction of any of the characters, I felt the responsibility for the way the film came across lies in the, on the editing floor.
Getting specific. Yeah. Pointing fingers.
I like it. there was too many monologues and talking scenes in Act 3 where I felt the point was made and it was time to go, but the editor fed us another scene of chatting. Icarus also seemed confusing as a character as his story suddenly switched and then switched again with no real motive to him other than killing his family because Dad said. True. Finally, I have a question. When the deviant evolvement started reciting memories of each of the Eternals, do you think they were actually the minds of the Eternals it had absorbed, and the scene where Athena kills it is in fact the real death scene of Gilgamesh and Ajax? Kind regards, Andrew.
Maybe. I mean, I do know they all go regenerate in Antarctica or whatever.
In the comics, they reincarnate, but I don't understand exactly what he's saying here.
The thing started saying memories back at Athena. Like, it was saying things to her that, like, I can't remember exactly, but I do know what he's talking about. It was, like, you know, making it hard for her to be like, but then she did kill it. Because it was absorbing stuff from this. Very strange. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to see it again.
The way I took that, I don't think we've talked about it on the cast. The way I took that was that she intentionally, so he had absorbed their personalities and their minds. Like, that's what he was doing. And their bodies or whatever, as they were, like, going around becoming, he was going around and evolving. He was, because as he did that, he learned things. He, like, knew things about them. Right. I don't know if this is the case, but it seemed like she intentionally let him siphon some of her energy off of her. And I wonder if she was trying to get rid of the Mad Weary.
She's just Mad Weary. He's Mad Weary. We're all Mad Weary.
The whole point was that she had too many memories. So maybe if she could actually let him take some of them.
Oh, that's good.
Like, maybe she thought it might be a way of solving the Mad Weary. That was what I thought was going on in that scene, but then they never touched on it, so I don't know. When that scene happened, that's what I thought was going on.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. There's a lot in this movie. I guess I gotta go rewatch it.
Yeah.
I will say about his idea about Icarus. He says Icarus also seemed confusing as a character and suddenly switched and switched again with no real motive but killing his family. I don't think that's totally accurate. I think that, like,
I think he was on his side the whole, like, he was on the one side the whole time. He was just kind of playing the game to see where they were going to go with their choices and then be like, well, this sucks. I got to kill you now because this is my way of life and this is what we're supposed to do.
Well, I think he even says he's, like, not trying to kill them. Like, he wanted to get them, he wanted to get them to just, like, waste their time. So he was, like, sabotaging their journey to try to make them take too long, and then they just end up, like, you know, the Celestial is birthed, and they just go back, and they never have to have a fight. But Ajax, it was too late, because she revealed that, like, she was, and the only way that he could, like, he, like, uses Ajax's death to, like, convince them all they need to go fight the deviants, you know? That's why he takes her to Antarctica. He's like, here, fight these deviants, because I need deviants to kill you, so that they will need to go fight deviants instead of dealing with the actual problem, which is the whole plot of the movie. I'm sorry, I'm sitting here explaining the plot of the movie. But but I think that's like that. I don't think he swaps motivations is my point. I think he just, we don't know his motivation and then we do. It's good. I'm excited to see it again. I really am.
Yeah.
Well, my friends, it is that time that we shut this thing down. We'll be back with more Eternals feedback episodes coming up. And we've got Hawkeye starting next week.
It's next week?
Yeah, I believe so. Right? 24th? Cool. What is it now? Yeah, next week.
It's the day before Thanksgiving, and that's fun.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, no. I didn't realize that.
Oh, no. Well, oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think my family's doing stuff on Thanksgiving. I think they're doing it like the couple days before Thanksgiving. So
oh, that's good.
I think I'll get to just like devote my Thanksgiving to sleeping in and recovering from Hawkeye.
Yeah, good. Usually Wednesday is like the relaxed night before the storm. It's the party night.
Yeah, except I'll be like staying up till 2 a.m. to just start watching 2 hours of Hawkeye and then an hour of casting or whatever.
I didn't even think about it. I might be able to join you guys.
Oh, that's right, because it's Thursday. Yeah. And you're all, oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'll be real quiet while Matthew produces.
Yeah, no, I think Fox is supposed to join, and Melissa actually asked if she could join too, so I'm debating whether the late night could work with four people, or
I digress back though. Let them.
Well, no. The thing is, I also told Melissa, I was like, we could probably do a four person, especially for the shorter reaction cast, because it's not too much to edit, you know. But yeah, also, someone almost always sleeps in, which is why we didn't do the what ifs. We were like, all right, we can keep missing it. Let's just do it in the morning.
Okay,
but. Like if, you know, it's likely if we do four or five that it'll end up being three or four, which could also be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll figure it out next week. Keep an eye on your feeds and just join us on next Wednesday night or Thursday morning at 2 a.m. or whatever. Very, very excited.
Exciting.
Let's have Thanksgiving together, guys. All right. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.